Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce Scott Steyer to you. He's our resident, I have to say, and I don't use the word, you know, often, but he's our resident badass. You know, he's a former Green Beret and Special Forces. You know, he worked for a little outfit called Delta Force. And hey, when we were talking about Venezuela, you know, Scott was like breaking it down on the show. It was fantastic. So thanks very much for being back on the show, Scott. Appreciate it. He's also with Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com. They've got a fantastic product. So if you guys like long guns, they got three-tier rifle system. You have your choice. And we are big fans of long guns and law enforcement. So thanks, Scott. More coming up in reference to him and him weighing in on the show. We've also got our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And right now we're streaming during the live show to over a million followers. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. If you want cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing or the sweatshirt I sent Scott that he's not wearing, go ahead and go to LeoRoundtable.com. Check out the online store. And we've got all the cool gear there. We don't even charge extra where we don't make a dime off of anything that's on the store. We're just trying to get our gear out there so people will, you know, hear about the show. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaEPI.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and our very own Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And here's what we're going to be talking about, the guys. And you know, Scott, we can take any of these stories out of order that you want to. I'm just going to start off with the two main stories right now. I didn't really see this all over the news, and maybe because we've got some other stuff that's taken over the media right now. But we have 10 dead in Canada's deadliest school shooting in nearly 40 years. So if you haven't heard about that, we're going to cover that. We've got an IRS scandal, which will get everybody upset. There's 150,000 federal workers. They're skipping taxes while you're paying the bill. Yeah. And we have an investigation of an incident involving Norris police officer, and it's over with. The officer ends up getting charged in that. And it involves a naked guy. The naked dude was not the officer. Then we got Houston police releasing body cam of an officer shooting a suspect with a felony warrant during a struggle. Again, a little reminder on the verbiage you use when you're putting the handcuffs on a bad guy. Don't give them too much information, or else you're going to have a fight on your hand. We got Houston police released a body cam of an officer shooting a suspect with a felony. Well, that was, the one I just covered, the felony warrant. Miami officer fatally shot an armed suspect near a Miami Edison Senior High School. That was kind of scary. The female detective obviously didn't want to have to shoot this guy. And it was really interesting watching her reaction afterwards. Then we have ICE shooting out the tires of a vehicle that tried to run over yet another officer. This one in New Jersey. And we've got a suspect fatally shot by Coolidge police officers when he charges at them with a machete. That was a little DV, domestic violence situation. And then we have drone technology, Scott. It is amazing what they can do. They actually help the Stockton Police Department catch a serial. It is a serial defecator using the park as a public bathroom. Yeah, I hope we get a chance to talk about that one. Video shows a fallen police officer fatally shooting a knife-wielding suspect after two people were already stabbed. So, yeah, we got a lot going on. So, if you're ready to cover the two, are you good with the two main stories back to back, starting off with the Canada?
Sure.
All right. So RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media, 10 dead in Canada's deadliest school shooting in nearly 40 years. So in case anybody has not heard about this, the Tumbler Ridge Secondary School in northeastern British Columbia, the students had to barricade themselves inside the classrooms for more than 2 hours on Tuesday. And there was a shooting that left 10 people dead and 25 injured. And authorities are describing it as Canada's deadliest school shooting in nearly four decades, 40 years, as reported by the New York Post. Now, the violence unfolded on Tuesday afternoon at the high school. It's in a place called Tumbler Ridge, and it's a remote community, about 2,400 residents, about 160 students between the ages of 12 and 18 attended the school. I guess those 18-year-olds are kind of like, you're going to make it, man. You're going to make it this year. They're coming back, you know. But anyhow, that's the information they had on the website. And not a lot of information about this, but British Columbia Premier David Eby said that the police arrived at the school. They got there within 2 minutes of getting the emergency call, and they reported that six people, including the suspected shooter, were found dead inside the school. Two additional victims were found dead at the residence that the investigators believe are connected to the attack. So it's kind of making it sound like the shooter, who's a female, by the way, did some action at the house before she went to the school and shot some more people. It says another person died while being transported to the hospital. In total, 10 people were killed, 25 injured, and they have not released many details about the suspect. They stated the shooter was a female, though, and that she was wearing a dress. The suspect died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, which is unusual, I might add, for a female. You know, the dudes do that, but not so much the chicks. The attack marks Canada's deadliest school shooting in 37 years. In 1989, they had 14 students killed at Montreal's, I can't pronounce the name, but at one location, one school. And it is also the deadliest mass shooting in Canada since 2020, when a gunman killed 13 people in Nova Scotia. And then he set fires that claimed 10 additional lives. So, you know, you don't think about Canada when you think about, you know, this, you know, mass shootings, but here you go, Scott Stewart.
Yeah, so when I heard about this, what's kind of making, I mean, other than the fact that it's extremely tragic, they also said that was it a trans person?
I have not heard that. In fact, the first I heard about this was on Red Voice Media. All the other news sources that I scanned for stories, nobody had it.
Interesting. So I saw a picture. Again, this is, I'm not sure how reliable the source was, but it's been going around. There was a picture of the supposedly shooter, and it was female in the picture, but you could clearly see it didn't look female.
A dude.
Like, it looked like a guy with a wig on and a scruffy beard, almost like a 5 o'clock shadow or something.
Interesting.
Anyhow, it's very interesting, but you know, it just goes to show, and I was thinking about this, it doesn't matter where you go in this world. There's crazy people everywhere you go. It's the human nature side of things. It's unfortunate. In a small town, I mean, you could think of like a small, everybody knows everybody. Yeah. It's strange when you hear about things. Like it's interesting. I would be interested to know in like what the motivation was. But they, you know, we probably won't ever know unless there's a note left over or something like that. But yeah, it would be interesting if it is a trans person. And if you start looking at the amount of mass shootings, then you look at how many are trans, and it's like there's not a whole lot of trans people in relation to normal people, but you know, non-trans people in the world, especially in the U.S. or Canada. And what is the percentage? Yeah. I mean, it seems like it would be a little bit, the ratio there is skewed. It's a little bit off. It's skewed. Yeah. So there might be something there is what I'm trying to say.
You know, well, I got to admit, the first thought I had was, is there a possibility this might be a trans, because it's just so prevalent right now in the school shootings. I know we're talking about Canada. So it would make sense. And look, before people, I mean, look, realistically, these are people that are, we're not saying all trans people or I mean, obviously there's an issue with trans, and the fact that I've read that there was a lot of mental illness associated with people, you know, that were making that decision. But again, you've got babies that are born with multiple sexual organs from like both sides. There's calls that have to be made by a doctor. As rare as that is, there are just exceptions to almost everything. Sure. And I say that to say this is that, you know, President Trump just came out publicly and said that he called them, I think I read like insane asylums, but he's really talking about mental health facilities. So, you know, I believe that's what I read. It doesn't matter, because when I grew up in the 80s and started my law enforcement career in 83, all through the 80s, people were getting a lot of help that they needed, because there are people with some mental health issues. There are people that we all know that take the happy pill. I actually know some people, and you would never suspect it. There are people with issues, and some get it dialed in through medication. Sometimes that's a temporary thing, and then they get off the medication. I mean, you know, people that are bipolar, oh my gosh, that's an ongoing process, because it makes you feel so good. If you get it dialed in, you feel so good. You think, I don't need the medication anymore. You stop taking it. And guess what? Then you start turning the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde again, you know? So I want to see these people that are shooters. It's sad, because I feel like we have failed them as a country. And I know we're talking about Canada, so I'll throw Canada in there too. They have been failed because they can't get the mental health help that they need and that they used to be able to get. And Trump at least seems like he's making an effort to bring that back in the United States, which I applaud, because this show's been around for 10 years now. And for 10 years, we've been talking about the absence of mental health facilities and how they still exist. They're growing, but now instead of getting help, we institutionalize them, but that's called prison. We put them in jails. They get no help. And it just makes matters worse because now they get out there on the street and it's just that cycle, you know? So I'm happy we're bringing them back.
I am too. There, we have to have, a resource. We have to have something available to us as a society to take these people and put them in there. And hey, I think the reason why they were taken away is because there was the courts deemed it unconstitutional. Maybe these people are in there for longer and held against their will. I don't know the whole thing. I just heard if we do this, and I hope we do. The biggest thing is there just needs to be some serious oversight. A lot of times when I was training, we would use, especially in the Northeast and Pennsylvania and Jersey, there was a lot of these abandoned former psychiatric
hospitals. Oh, really?
All over the place. And they're great for training because they're like 2-3-4-story buildings all over the place. It's like a campus, and they're great to train in.
I'm surprised they let you out, Scott. All right. We got a first commercial break, but we'll be right back. Here we go.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Special Forces Scott Steyert, and he brings a unique perspective to the show. Now, we just covered the mass shooting in Canada at a school, but during the break, we did a Galls ad spot, and we're talking about Galls pretty much having everything but guns and ammo, and I found out that Scott is also, with a Special Forces background, is a big fan of go bags. And I was talking about, I have a bunch of different go bags, right? One's for swimming, for my PI thing, my shooting thing. When I was when I was an active cop, I had a go bag. I carry with me every day, 150 rounds of ammo, the ski mask, my police radio, extra battery. I mean, everything, right? So Scott, you were just talking about, was it Somalia or where were you?
Well, I wasn't there, but when I started all my Special Forces training, one of the big takeaways from the Black Hawk down Somalia was they didn't have at that time they didn't have these bags, these go bags. So basically, if you were in a sustained firefight and it was really, really bad or whatever, and you're running out of ammo, you're running low on med supplies, ammo, water, stuff like that, batteries, whatever it is. There wasn't any. So when this firefight went on for hours and into, at least like within like 24 hours, they're out of ammunition. So what they would do is they had these bags, and the choppers would come in and they'd put a chemlike on it. They'd break the chemlike like an IR style, so you can see it with nod. They'd drop it, they'd run out and grab it, and now they have mags and they're already loaded up and everything, so they can grab these bags and they can continue to fight. So that became a big thing in our training. They would always, like, it was part of a checklist, like make sure you had The go bags, that somebody had to be in charge of that. So whenever you do a mission, you had these things. And it was something that we did all the time. We kept them in our vehicles overseas. We kept them, you know, there was some already. And when I say they're already there, they're like magazines already loaded, tons of mags, frag grenades, med supplies, all that was already in a bag. It already had taped up IR chem lights on it. And so if there was ever a situation where we were in, you know, in a bad spot, they could come by, drop it off, we could grab it, and we can continue to fight. So a go bag is something that I've always, I love it. I love the idea. And as a civilian, you know, you look at, especially in Florida, hurricanes. If there's a reason why that you need to get out of your house for a while, for a day or two, you have everything in that bag that can kind of help support that. So if you have to leave in a hurry, put it in your car and go. So it's a great idea. And to your point, I have a bag for like a gym bag, and I like to put everything in there, and I don't want to have to look around and find things just to go to the gym. So I just pick it up and I go. If I go to the range, of course I have my range bag. I have a go bag in case of an emergency. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Out of curiosity, when they did those drops, did they always build out the bags the same way? In other words, was the ammo, everything located, arranged the same way so you didn't like have to hunt for stuff? Did they have like the frag grenades, were they like clipped on the outside or something, or not necessarily?
No, it wasn't in a specific spot in the bag, because the bags, you know, they're not the biggest bags. You know, you can put a lot of stuff in there. So it has a certain there's a requirement of what's in it, so you can expect that this bag is going to have X, Y, and Z in it. But okay, as far as like a location in it, it doesn't really have a location.
It's nice that there's a civilian application that's a very realistic and good application for go bags too, you know. And I just brought up, just like if you're just like a swimmer, I've got my go bags. It's one of those like little backpack with a, you know, it's small, but it's a go bag, you know, and that's what I use it for. So, I love it. Good conversation. So if you're ready, Scott, we got our second main topic coming up here, and this is about the IRS. So there's going to be some blood pressure going up on this one. RVMnews.com again, Red Voice Media. And that's we got our first two main stories from them today. IRS scandal erupts. It's 150,000 federal workers. They skip taxes while you pay the bill. It has always bothered me. You know, we've always heard that around 10% of the people pay taxes and that 90% don't. And I don't know how accurate that figure is, but I'll tell you one thing. Hillary Vaughn is a reporter that reported more than 100,000 federal workers, including thousands employed by IRS. They owe significant unpaid taxes despite the agency's authority to enforce compliance among its own staff. That bothers every red-blooded American. Well, let me think. Every law-abiding red-blooded American that is paying their freaking taxes, right? The Internal Revenue Service announced that on January the 26th, that'll be the start of the filing season, and several new tax law provisions of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which if you don't love it yet or you don't know about it, if you don't love it, it's probably because you don't know about it. You've been listening to liberal sources that are just telling you bad things about it. But that becomes effective on the 2025 tax returns. You're going to love it. Taxpayers have until Wednesday, April the 15th, to file their 2025 tax returns. And I know we hate to do the extension thing, right? And it says, while most Americans have to write a big fat check to the government today to pay their taxes, over 100,000 federal workers are not paying their taxes in 2021. The IRS found that almost 150,000 federal workers, they owe about $1.5 billion in unpaid taxes. I think it's kind of interesting how it's 150,000 federal workers and it's still, you know, it's 150,000 and it's $1.5 billion in unpaid taxes. So there's a pretty decent average there. She added that more than 5,000 of those employees, they work at the IRS. Over 5,000 of them work at the IRS and they owe $50 million in overdue taxes, even though IRS can, listen to this, the IRS can actually fire its workers that are not paying their taxes, but only 20 people have been terminated by the IRS, according to Vaughn. And Vaughn also described the limited terminations as a double standard, saying that is an issue that Senator Joni Ernst is seeking to address. And this is going to make you feel better. It's going to give you that warm feeling all over, Scott. She's introducing several bills aimed at cleaning up the IRS. According to Vaughn, one of the Ernst proposals would require regular reviews of IRS employees' tax compliance. And one bill will require IRS employees to be audited every year, and they get fired if they don't pay their taxes. Vaughn also reported on IRS spending related to firearms and ammunition, because, you know, wasn't that long ago, we were getting that word about who's buying all the guns and ammo, and that was an excuse on why we can't get any. freaking IRS. And here's a quote saying, but while the IRS is not catching the tax cheats on their own payroll, they're busy arming their workforce. You've got about 20 seconds, Scott, before we go to our next break.
Yeah, that's it's interesting. So Doge comes out, or, you know, they find all this fraud, waste, and abuse. But now what are we going to do with it? That's what I'm saying. I just want, yeah, obviously, I'm as angry as everybody else, but I'd like to see something done about it, at least some firings or some arrests.
Yeah, agreed. All right, guys, we're up for our break number two, second commercial break. Stick with us. We have some great stories coming up. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-wealth expander, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. Scott's a big fan of the Glove, too. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times. Heck, we're over 250,000 deployments of the Glove, and they have actually had no injuries and no deaths. It has achieved that rare and elusive non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove, ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and check it out. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Special Forces, former operator Scott Steyert with, Green Beret Delta Force, and he brings a unique perspective to the show. Scott, our last main topic, I know that we've talked about, you know, the Canada school shooting, and now we've got this other story. Any commentary or any more commentary on anything, or we're good? So I looking on the comments on Rumble, and MVS are pretty much just backing everything up, you know, that we're saying. And also, Scott, why would you move to the communist state of Colorado? Now, MVS lives there, and he wants to know, why do we move to the communist state of Colorado? And then he says, but Canada has gun control. How could that happen? Meaning the school shooting in Canada. And I'm not going to read the other one. He's got some interesting stuff on there. But anyhow, Colorado, yeah. But Scott grew up in Florida. So his roots really are in Florida. But he loves the country and the wild and being able to take out coyotes with, his rifle.
Yeah. So I'm up here because of a woman, of course. Otherwise, I would not be here. But I still have my house in Cheyenne, so I still go up there, and I plan on spending a lot of time there in the summer because it's across from a state park, and it's a great time. But one other thing, going back to the school shooting, I thought about that, and it's like when they were talking about the teacher and the kids, they were in the classroom, they took all the chairs and everything, they were barricading, and everybody was freaking out, and they were, you know, it's just, I put myself in that situation. I'm like, man, to feel that helpless, I it just would be the most disgusting feeling, just because you can't do anything. Yeah. And it's like, to me, that's the importance of, you know, I think the teachers should have some type of lockbox in every classroom and be trained. Now, granted, not every teacher is going to want to do this. Not every teacher should do this, because maybe they're not comfortable enough handling a firearm or whatever, but at least have that option. Yep. So you're not sitting ducks in there waiting to be massacred by a crazy person. At least you have an ability to go in there, put in the code, whatever, get it out, take your train, and then at least protect yourself in place. But anyhow, it's just something that came to me. I wish there was more of an incentive to do that and do that on a more larger scale.
Now, before we go to to our next story, this last story that we just kind of whet the appetite on, the IRS and the like 5,000 people that work for them, they don't even pay their taxes, but they have an option to fire people. Any last words on that one?
That's just gotta do as I say, not as I do.
Dude,
that's the motto over there.
That's what really gets us, you know, we pay our taxes. I don't necessarily believe in, you know, you go to H&R Block, you know, they're not risk takers, dude. You're paying if there's a doubt, they're citing on the you know, with IRS, right? But you know, so I don't mind pushing the limit, but I want to make sure I've been audited before and they actually paid me money, but it's not a fun process to go through. So, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, I don't mind paying my fair share of taxes. I mean, we've got a great country and a lot of things, but I don't like paying for illegals coming over here. I don't like paying over $2,500 a month in healthcare for me and my wife with no kids, because we're also helping fund illegals and giving them free healthcare and giving them a phone, a credit card with an expense account. They can stay at 5-star hotels. Yeah, that bothers me because, you know, I'm paying a lot of money now, especially with healthcare and stuff. And they don't have to. So, yeah. So this story about the IRS and stuff and these guys not paying taxes where I pay my fair share, you know, every year. Yeah, that's kind of aggravating, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
so I know people. I know I'm not alone. Well, guys, our next story, we have an update story, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and it's MontgomeryCountyPA.gov. Investigation of an incident involving Norristown police officer concludes the officer ends up being charged. I read this. I would love to find out from the officer's own mouth why they did this, because when you hear me talk about this in the Naked Dude, you're going to say, why would he do that? So the incident starts when Norristown police responded 8:04 in the morning on a Wednesday, February the 4th of 2026. So it just happened, to reports of a naked dude in the middle of an intersection. Additional information provided by the police was that this naked guy was screaming and damaging cars. The first patrol car arrives on the scene. Naked guy, later identified as Justin Rich, but let's just call him the naked guy. It's more entertaining. He approaches the police car and attempts to open the doors, but it's unsuccessful. Numerous other cops start showing up, including a patrol car driven by Sergeant D. Orzio. And this is apparently the senior ranking guy there. He stops behind a gray pickup truck that's in the travel lane. So the sergeant radios for other officers to have the gray pickup truck move out of the intersection, move out of the way. Once it's moved from the travel lane, the sergeant immediately accelerates his vehicle and he strikes Rich, or naked guy, who goes airborne, lands several feet away at the center of the roadway. And then Rich, the bad guy, the naked guy, he's transported to Mainline Health Hospital, where he's admitted, and he ended up leaving the hospital on February the 6th. So he was there for 2 days. Per county protocol, an independent investigation ends up being done by the Montgomery County Detective Bureau. And remember, this was a PD that did it. As part of the investigation, county detectives interviewed numerous officers, civilian witnesses, reviewed video, and the police use of force continuum, which is our, like, rules of engagement. And it guides officers on using the minimum amount of force to accomplish your goals. Anyhow, they're saying that the force options available to an officer, it's just from mere presence, whatever. They're saying the sergeant blew it. The investigation found that Rich, our naked guy, was standing in the intersection. I got to be careful with my words here. Scott knows what I'm talking about. With his hands on his hips. And he was not armed, obviously. He's naked, and he didn't have a weapon. And the sergeant accelerates and hits him with the car without even giving a verbal warning and striking him, putting him airborne. The investigation found that there were no verbal commands, tactical coordination, consideration of the hands-on. No one wanted to touch the guy. I get it. Or utilizing less lethal weapons against the naked guy, who at the time was committing misdemeanor offenses. And so our sergeant ends up being charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, official oppression, recklessly endangering another person. He turned himself into Montgomery County detectives, and he was arraigned by a judge, set his bail at $100,000, and his preliminary hearing will be held on February the 19th, 10:30, by Judge Denise Ash. So I'm curious what will happen there. You know, there's a few things that we never do. You never apply force without giving commands on the bad guy what you want him to do in order to alleviate the force. And not giving a guy an option to comply before you hit him with a car. But then again, why an unarmed guy? Why would you take out an unarmed guy in a car? I just wonder. I would like to hear if the sergeant thought that he had a weapon, you know, or whatever. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No.
And there is a reluctance of people that want to go hands on with a naked guy. I'm not one of them. But you are. Look, I've been in fights with naked dudes and naked chicks.
Was that on the job?
Yeah, that was on the job, correct. Yeah. But we're in Florida, right? So there's a sweat factor. So I've had a fight with a naked dude that just got out of the shower. He had a warrant. And me being the idiot and a rookie, he wanted me to allow him to put his clothes on, which I did. That was my mistake. The fight was on. I couldn't hold on to him. He was wet from being in the shower. and I simply couldn't hold on to him. And he had short hair, and he made it out. And I was in the projects, and now I'm chasing him through the hood. He got away. I couldn't. I had a big black guy, Lawrence White, with me. We couldn't handle this dude. But I've also had guys that get sweaty in a fight, and all of a sudden you can't grab onto them either. You know, that's where clothing is great, but it can tear. I've had the same issue with females, but there was another liquid involved when I was fighting her and why I couldn't grab on her. That's another story for another day. I've been through a lot of that. So I have a lot of questions about this, but give commands to people, but go hands on, you know, or, I mean, I wouldn't even use a taser or something like this. If you got to do without a weapon, it's me and you, dude. We're going, you know, maybe I'll go with an impact weapon, but, you know, let's do it. You know, if you can't do that, you're not competent to do your job. You need to check out.
Well, I mean, again, compliant technology, the glove. Yeah. I mean, for one, if that was an option, if this officer had that in that tool in his toolbox, he could have went out there, obviously using the verbal commands, gloves are on, not activated, or maybe they are, because it doesn't do anything if they are. You can still draw your weapon if you had to, but go up there, talk to him. Okay, not only is it going to, the glove is going to keep that person from not resisting arrest, it's also going to have that grippiness to it. So if he is sweaty or oily or whatever it is, it's going to do the job. So again, just to me, this is another example of where the glove could be injected in there. It could save lives, keep people out of the hospital, de-escalate the situation very quickly. It's just, to me, again, it's a no-brainer.
So you know the question that everybody's asking now, they want to ask you, Scott. You know the question is that you have a pair of the gloves on, they're activated, and you got a naked guy. Where are you going to grab him?
Depends on how bad he wants to fight. I mean, there's always options. I mean, how big is this guy? Is he, you know, am I on the bottom at some point? He's whooping me up. Well, then, you know, I'll grab wherever I need to grab. But the good thing is, you can grab wherever you want to grab, and it'll hurt, but it's not gonna, you know, make this guy
no lasting effect. Yeah. All right. We're coming up on our third commercial break, guys, and perfect segue at the end of that conversation. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers and military, really, you know, we deal with guns every day, and it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can actually become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and you can go to gunlearn.com to get more information, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by former Special Forces operator Scott Steyer with AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Also, he's a big fan of the glove by Compliant Technologies. Scott, we got some videos with some stories for video components. You ready to cover the one in Houston?
Let's go.
All right, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. They get these things out before anybody else does. Houston police release a body cam of an officer shooting a suspect with a felony warrant during a struggle.
All right, man, well, listen, bro. When I check your information, it shows you have a warrant. Okay, so we have to verify it first, okay? But I do have to put your handcuffs, put you back in my car, okay? Turn around for me.
Can I give him some food?
Yeah. You're not going to jail.
You're not going to jail yet, bro.
Drives behind your back.
Nah, bro, it's because I know that this is going to happen.
Just chill, bro.
Get on the fucking track! You didn't hear anything.
Nah.
You'll
get tased, dude. You're going to get tased.
Why? You're not fucking reading for anything.
You're going to get tased.
Drop it! I don't have nothing!
Get on your face!
I'm dead!
Put your arm behind your back!
Ruby.
Put your hands behind
your
back!
I love you, bro!
Put your hands behind your back!
He shot me for no reason!
Put your arms behind your back!
AC-42, can you say here's code one?
I mentioned it at the intro. There is an art to doing police work, and Scott knows in the military, you don't have to tell people everything. You're asking for trouble. And the first time you tell a bad guy, you know, that, hey, I'm going to, you know, there's a warrant out for your arrest, or you're, you know, I got to arrest you for domestic violence or whatever it is. And you end up getting in that life and death fight. You say, that's the last time I do that anymore. You know, I'm just going to say, hey, dude, you're not in trouble. I'm just going to put your hands behind your back. I'm going to handcuff you for your protection. Then I'll just, you know, I'm going to check you out. I'm going to cut you loose or whatever. You know, you come up with there's no law against lying. So there isn't. So Houston, Texas, routine traffic stop turns into a shooting. Didn't have to, when an officer shot a suspect with a felony warrant who's resisting arrest, according to the Houston Police Department. Now, being a defensive tactics instructor, knowing police tactics and stuff, there are some things I'm going to point out. Scott will probably pick up on these too, because he's been around the block and trained a lot of cops. Police said the officer stopped the driver for, it's just a traffic violation. That's how most of this stuff happens. It's 1:40 in the morning on a Sunday. At that point, officers learned the driver had an outstanding felony warrant, and they tried to arrest him. It leaves out that they tell him that they know he's got the felony warrant and put your hands behind your back and put you in handcuffs. They did say, we're not taking you to jail right away, but he knows they're arresting him, and he knows they know that he's got the felony warrant. You know, they could have come back and say, ah, you know, computers are down, just got to handcuff you for our protection and then just, you know, check you out, whatever, you know, but anyhow. So yeah. And then when the one officer, there's two officers, but the one officer goes to put the handcuff on, you never put a handcuff on a wrist or a hand until you have control. And that was a second mistake, because now that guy breaks away. Now he's got a weapon attached to his wrist. And whenever one of these handcuff hooks comes unhooked and it's open, dude, I've seen that thing go through cheeks. And if it goes through the cheek and the jaw, now he can pull you, and you're his puppet, whatever he wants. So it's dangerous. So I know these guys. I suspect these guys will never do it that way again. I'm glad that they survived. But anyhow, they tell him they know he's got a warrant. They handcuff one hand before they have control of that, much less the other hand. And now the fight is on. During the struggle, officers used the taser on the suspect, later had to shoot him. Suspect was critically injured, taken to the hospital. Nobody else hurt. There were two other passengers in the suspect's vehicle at the time, too, which raises concerns, because there's all kinds of things that can happen. Now, I'm going to go to my show notes real quick. At the 3:40, that's when the officer tells the suspect on the traffic stop that he has a warrant and they want to put him in handcuffs. The resist starts 17 seconds later. Then the taser gets deployed roughly, you know, 20 seconds later. And when they deploy the taser, it's not really, you got two officers, you got one with a taser, and then the other guy that's the furthest away from us, the bad guy's between them, he ends up having his pistol out. And so from the point you hear the taser going off at 4:17, there's 5 seconds shots fired by the other officer. And he yelled, he fired those shots right after he yells, drop it. So unclear, you know, what he had, what the officer thought he had. I don't know if he grabbed onto the taser, or if he's grabbing onto a gun or whatever. And then if you jump to the second body camera at 6:43, when they're going hands on, that's when you see the single handcuff go on the right wrist. And you know, man, this guy's not even under control yet. Big mistake. Taser at 7:10. And on that video, 4 seconds later is when shots are fired. And then we got a dash cam, which kind of shows everything. And then you hear a string of fire that you don't really pick up from the body cams. You have like, it almost sounds like you hear a couple gunshots. And then seconds later, you hear two more shots. And then you hear another set of two gunshots. So it's kind of crazy. There's still some missing information, but I suspect that our bad guy, because after he was shot, he said, dude, I didn't do anything. Why'd you shoot me? I didn't do anything. I suspect he was grabbing onto the taser or to the one of the officer's guns or something that caused them to shoot. I suspect it's justified, but just not all the information we need. Scott.
I was wondering the same thing. I when I was watching the video, I didn't hear the gunshot. I was, you know, it's kind of a lot going on. I'm like, where was his firearm? And a lot of times after on the video, they'll kind of circle it, they'll freeze frame it.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. And then the first thing that what came to mind was, man, did this guy did the law enforcement officer grab his firearm instead of the taser? That's the first thing that came to mind.
I briefly wondered that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And then as I'm watching this again, I'm not sitting here trying to plug the glove every single time, but it's literally that effective of a tool in your toolbox for law enforcement. If you don't have to worry about, again, goes back to less training for the officer. I don't have to think, okay, am I going to draw my gun here? Am I going to draw my taser here? In a time of stress where, let's face it, law enforcement, they don't get enough time and money to train in the first place. But now I have a taser, I have a firearm, I'm under stress, and this guy could kill me. He's a big guy, I'm fighting this guy. There's a lot that can go on, but if you have the gloves on, they're already activated. More than likely, the perp's not going to be able to get access to the gloves. I mean, it's a lot harder to take a glove off. It's almost impossible. Rather than like a taser. The taser, I don't even know if it worked. If it did work, why was he still fighting? So, right. And I've been told, and I don't know this for truth, but I've been told that tasers only work 40 to 50% of the time. Anyhow, so you have all this going on, and I in my mind, where I go back to is, man, they just had the glove. You get a hold of that hand. This guy is not going to fight. He's not. And if he does, I mean, it's not going to be very long. So it's one of those things where I would like to know, it would be interesting to see where this guy had a firearm, if he had one, and what was in the officer's mind, and what was his mindset. And it would be interesting to hear that.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I'm curious. They definitely in the storyline, they said they didn't know whether the same guy that tasered fired the gun. I can tell you, no. One dude with taser, one dude that got his firearm out. It just the agency could have done a better job selling it. They could have put another version of it, a slow motion with freeze frame and zoom, and like you said, put the highlight things like the little red circle. When I freeze framed it, I saw when the officer that was furthest away pulled his gun out. We just don't know why. But they should have documented when the officer said, hey, drop it or don't go for it or whatever. Obviously, there was something going on that we just don't know. And I'm giving the officer the benefit of the doubt. I'm telling you, this is going to be a justified shoot. I just wish they put out the information so that we knew,
Yeah, but, because the whole purpose of putting out a video is to answer any questions people might have. They can see for themselves. And I feel like this video just led to more questions.
Yeah. And look, for people saying, well, the bad guy said he didn't do anything. Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
They always say that. So, all right. We've got a minute. Wow. A minute 43. So I'll tell you what, let me make a command decision here. And we've got an ICE guy shooting out tires, but we have another one. Let's do with the serial defector here. We've got WMTV15news.com. Drone technology helps the Stroughton police catch a serial defector. I say defector. It should be, but it's defecator. She is a serial defecator using the park as a public bathroom. I've only got a minute 15. Let's go. So we're in Wisconsin at WMTV. Stroughton, S-T-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. So a drone helped authorities arrest a 46-year-old woman who is repeatedly using a park as a public bathroom, according to the police department on Thursday. How would you like that to be your mom, right? Or like your wife or girlfriend? According to the Facebook post, the agency said that it received dozens of reports from people complaining about finding feces and used toilet paper in a park along the walking path. Officials, they didn't say which park the X happened in, but police noted the woman, she's not even homeless. They believe that she does not even have a mental health concern, which is, I would have been saying, if I was married to her or dating her, I'd say, at least say she's got a mental health issue, because I don't want anyone thinking I'm dating a chick that does this stuff, like when she's just like walking around the park. But anyhow, when we first learned of it, we thought it was going to be isolated, said the Lieutenant Chad O'Neill with the Stroughton Police Department. But then the neighbors and users of the park continued to call us to complain about it. I realized that it wasn't going to go away. Lieutenant said, well, they put a drone up, obviously. They don't talk about the drone anymore, but they got drone footage. Suspect claimed to have been used in the bathroom at a certain time and a certain location based on her personal pattern. So I guess whenever she's walking to the park, whenever she gets that urge, she's carrying toilet paper with her because they're finding it in toilet paper. So what do you do? You just reach in your purse and you grab the toilet paper and you stick your hand down your pants and just do the drop and wipe. I don't know. I mean, are you wiping front to back or back to front. You know, I'm hoping it's front to back, Scott, for her safety. The woman is given a citation for indecent conduct, and they call her the serial defecator. Scott, I know we're going. Well, yeah, 15 seconds, Scott.
Hey, I'm happy to hear she did wipe, so that's good. But this brings me to something happened
five
to
seconds.
Me. Okay. Oh, I don't have time to talk about it, but it reminds me of something that happened to me at a park. But
all right, we'll do it on the break after the live when we're talking to the streamers. Guys, callus.com, compliantechnologies.com, gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, safeguardrecruiting, and twobells.com. Thanks for watching the show. Thanks for the support. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.